Blog Talk Radio.
Check it out. The only thing we need to do right here is start your freaking neck. Break your freaking neck, boy.
Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the 2015 Mock Draft. This guy is Sports. We've been talking about doing this all year. This is our first show live from the Man Cave. Me and Tony G. Tony G, say what's up.
What's up? What's up? Draft is in on Thursday. It's draft week.
Finally here. It's nice to have a draft where there's not an injured superstar in it like the last two drafts, where we had Nerlens Noel, who was probably going to go top one or two, get hurt.
Thank God he got hurt.
Thank God, Sixers. And then the following year was Joel Embiid, which, you know, is still debatable if that was a good pick by the Sixers. But this year we have no injuries. So it's been a little interesting leading up into the draft. There's been a lot of talk on – there's really no sure shot pick. I mean, Karl Towns is number one. It's pretty much set.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's like scrambled eggs right now. There's really not – where teams are definitive with who they really want to take. Well, we're going to get right into it. We're limited. We're about 30 minutes live, 45-minute podcast. We're going to go right into it. And with the number one pick, Minnesota Timberwolves, center, Kentucky, Karl Anthony Towns. Tony, what do you think?
Clearly the number one pick. 7 foot, 250, large wingspan. Has an underrated jump shot that most people don't know because Kentucky was just posted on the block.
Is it a good fit, though? Is he going to run the floor with Wiggins and Rubio?
Yeah, he's a good fit on any team. He's going to be double-double guy immediately. A beast on both sides. Rubio, I'm not the biggest fan of, but good for Minnesota.
I mean, it was a report today that said that that they already said that they're going with Towns. I think it's been the overall consensus pick on those mock drafts. Won't waste too much time on it. Going to go right into the second pick, which this pick is definitely up for grabs. D'Angelo Russell had a second interview. Jahlil Okafor had a second interview. But I'm going to go with the number two pick in our mock draft, Nice Guy Sports. I'm going to go Lakers. Lakers go Jahlil Okafor, another big man selected by the Los Angeles Lakers. They usually go big. What do you think about Jahlil? Do you go Jahlil, or do you think they snatch up D'Angelo Russell and really put a wrench into this draft?
No, I think they talk about trading back and stuff like that, but overall they're going to go Jahlil Okafor, get a franchise center. They have Jordan Clarkson at the guard. He does play one, so they could put Russell in at two, but I just don't really see them passing up on a big who's going to have average 20 points a game in his career.
Plus, he could be a real nice fit next to the kid that was hurt last year, Julius Randle. I mean, it really gives him a lockdown 4 or 5, possibly for the next few years. I'm sure there's some Lakers fans that are listening tonight that are pretty excited about that pick. But I do know that with the number three pick, it's also another guy that the Lakers are targeting, and I'm sure Lakers fans will not be upset with this guy. But I'm going my man, D'Angelo Russell. 76ers. In a perfect world, I think a lot of us want D'Angelo Russell. Tony, are you feeling the same thing? You've been pro D'Angelo since the start of March Madness.
Yeah.
Still on that train? Or
yeah,
you think?
Yeah, clearly he's going to be the franchise player that the Sixers need. He can play point guard, shooting guard. So you can intertwine him. You can have him start at shooting guard, run set to point guard. He runs the floor well. His transition game is very good. He can play some defense, and his vision is just NBA ready.
Yeah, I mean, and it's triple, which is what the Sixers need right now. I mean, perfect fit. You got a good. I mean, you got a good D'Angelo. Do the Sixers really? Can they really afford to not go D'Angelo? Can they really go Porzingis and shake it all up? I mean,
that would be a terrible move. D'Angelo Russell is future all-star for many, many of years. Definitely a franchise changer. And where Porzingis is could be good. I mean, he's going to be good, but defensively, he's awful. His pick and pop game is going to be great, which is everything in the NBA now. Pick and pop, pick and roll. But, yeah, definitely like D'Angelo to the Sixers.
Yeah, this is another spot where this is a team that Sixers could move out if Russell was taken by the Lakers. I do think you might not see the Sixers pick here. I mean, if D'Angelo's off the board, do they go Okafor with the Embiid injury, or is the Embiid injury just a shadow to try and maybe get some more value for the 3 pick if their guy isn't there? And if Russell even wants to play here, I mean, I've heard reports saying that he really might not want to play here and, you know, be part of the rebuilding that we are going through. And I know he kind of refuted it right away, but, you know, the story is out there. I know story, but it's out there. But I think Sixers go 3, which then sets up the wild card of the draft. The team most likely to move out, in my opinion. But we got the New York Knicks. So, Tone, I'll let you take this one.
I got the Knicks getting Porzingis. I guess they have to take the guy with most potential. Phil Jackson would like to work with him. He just fits the NBA style. I mean, he can pick and pop, pick and roll. His jump shot is unreal for a 7-footer. But he's extremely soft and is going to need to work on his defense. And I'm not quite sure what position he's even going to play.
Power forward, right?
Yeah, but
when people do say Dirk about this guy, remember Dirk's defense was really fucking bad in the beginning. Come on, man. Dirk was really bad defending in his first couple years in the NBA.
Yeah, he was awful.
Yeah, like beyond awful. Yeah. And is the offense is what sells the pick for the Knicks. The guy can really work with Carmelo. There'll be a lot of space on the floor for him to operate. Yeah, I mean, that does mean Carmelo would have to pass the ball, which he doesn't really do too often. But it's a decent fit. I really think it is. It's a sexy pick, too. Moutier's there. I mean, they need a point guard. But Moutier played in China and missed half the season. So there might not be enough of Moutier for Phil Jackson to jump all over him when there's a guy with that type of potential in Porzingis. I've been told about, 5 minutes before the show? I wasn't really sure.
Yeah.
I was still thinking about Moutier, but ultimately I think a guy with this upside at 7-1 who can really shoot like this might really work with the Knicks. So, yeah, we're both in agreement. Porzingis at the 4. Magic. You know Magic and my team. Where do they go here? They've been linked to some trades with the Lakers and
I know they really want Porzingis, but he's probably going to be off the board if they don't trade up. So at 5, I think they have to go Justice Winslow. Got a nice 3-ball. In transition, he's great. I think he will be a great defender in the NBA. People are a little scared right now, but he'll learn with the game. I mean, he's young. He's only 19 or 20 years old.
I mean, his body's NBA ready. At that age. I mean, he's already, 6'6"?
6'7", 222.
I mean, that's huge. I mean, he's physical, too. He's physical underneath. He's not afraid to get down, you know, down in the post and everything.
I mean, and they, whatchamacallit, they would have their 5. It would go Alfred Payton, Oladipo, Justice Winslow, Aaron Gordon, and Nick Vucevic.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what their last, 4 draft picks, 4 of them guys were their draft picks over the last 4 years, right? The only guy that was required was Vucevic from the Sixers. Thank you, Andrew Bynum.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Still hurting over that trade, but it's okay. I do have Vucevic's autograph somewhere in this man cave, which I never thought I would actually value or treasure. It's hanging up over here on this wall here. But let's go into six. I mean, so far, we're agreement 1 through 5. I have seen mock drafts similar to ours out there. But the next few are little hairy. So let's go Kings. Obviously, if there's not a trade, what do you think? Did they get their point guard?
Yeah, I got a man, Emmanuel Mudiay going 6 overall to the Sacramento Kings. The Kings have point guard problems for years.
Yeah, when's the last time they had a point guard?
Mike Bibby.
Has it ever been that long? I couldn't tell you.
I'm trying to think in depth about that. Yeah, they have major point guard problems. I mean, they have Ray McCallum starting a bunch of games. Yeah, Collison was hurt, but Collison's not.
He's not your guy. Like, if
he's not the everyday starter that you're. And, like, if he's playing with 4 other stars and he's at your point guard, okay. But, yeah. And I'm a big Mario fan, but, like, the Kings have picked this shooting guard, small forward type guy the past 2 years. So are they really just going to give up? And
they're still stuck with Gay, who's owed a ton of – what's he owed? I mean, he's got to make $18, $19 million at this point.
Yeah.
Minimal 15, but I can't see – but so I don't think that they go that route. Yeah, Mario's got amazing upside at 19 years old at that position with that kind of shot and that type of explosiveness. But Mudiay fills the need by then, big time. If he's still there – I still can see him going forward to the Knicks as I'm writing all these picks down. I can still see I find it hard to believe Mudiay's still there at 6. But with Porzingis, like, fast rising through this draft, I think he does fall to Sacramento at 6. Team that flew under the radar, my man O-Rod, Denver Nuggets fan. Who do they get? There's been rumors about Lawson being traded. There's been rumors about Free being traded the last couple of years. They traded away Mozgov to bring up this other center, Nurkic. I don't want to mispronounce his name.
Nurkic. Yeah. Played very good as a rookie. He wants Mario Hezonja, and I think he's going to get it. They'll be quite the cocky tandem.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, both love to talk shit on the basketball court, and might get in a few scuffles this year if they're on the same floor together. But two talented player from Europe. Hezonja is 6'8". He can really shoot the triple.
He's not afraid to shoot it either.
No, it looks like he can come off screens and hit it with people in his eye. He's got a good first step. People are saying he struggles to create his own shot. I don't see a problem with that. I think he'll be able to create a shot in the NBA. He'll probably be kind of like Gordon Hayward-type player. Maybe not as good as passer, but...
A little bit more explosive.
Yeah, definitely a little more explosive.
Yeah, so we're locked in. So far, which is surprising, but so far we're right on foot. Right on par with the first 7 picks. With number 8, we're going Detroit Pistons. They have some question marks this offseason. Greg Monroe's definitely going to leave them. And Reggie Jackson's an unrestricted free agent. I mean, I know they just traded for him, but they do have Jennings coming back, which he was a big part of really playing well when they traded Josh Smith.
Yeah, he went through that run where the Pistons won a bunch of games in a row and is putting up huge assist numbers. On Brandon Jennings-esque, I liked what he showed last season.
Yeah, so do I. So that does leave, that does leave a space open at shooting guard, possibly, for them. Caldwell Pope played well in spurts last year, but there's nothing that would deter them from drafting a shooting guard there. small forward. Tayshaun Prince is a free agent. I know he played some minutes there for them. Josh Smith is gone, obviously, and I'm sure everyone in Detroit is extremely happy about that nightmare being over. Sorry, Kurt Lowe. I know you're stuck with him for the next season or so. But we're going to go into the pick. Detroit Pistons, number 8, Tony G, break it down.
I think they should go Will Cauley-Stein, but I don't think they're going to because they're trying to get that stretch forward with Drummond, and Cauley-Stein really doesn't have a jump shot to stretch the floor, but those two defensively would be really, really good in the front court. But I think they're going to pick Stanley Johnson, who was once looked to be a top 5 prospect, kind of fell off, had a really bad tournament. Can shoot the 3. I don't know. I'm not in love with his game, but definitely has potential to
be
something.
He has the tools to be a starting small forward.
Yeah, he's got a nice 3 ball, and he's athletic, but...
He was a freshman also this year, correct?
Yeah. He was really hyped up in the beginning of the season, fell off towards the tail end of the year.
How did Arizona do in the March?
Lead 8, I believe.
Lead 8?
Yeah, and they lost to Wisconsin.
Yeah, and it was a pretty good team he was on. I know they had Rondé
Hollis-Jefferson.
See a Philly kid?
Yeah, he's from Chester.
Yeah, he's from Chester, close enough.
Yeah.
I'm sure most people from Chester say they're from Philly, so they don't have to admit they're from Chester. So if you asked him, he would probably say he's from Philly. But yeah, I'm going to go Stanley Johnson also with Detroit's pick, 1-8. We're right on par. And now to the worst GM in the NBA, who is the greatest funniest player of all time, Michael Jordan.
Jordan!
Who's he going to pick? What guy can he pick that is on no one's draft sheets? Let's go down to the second round and see who Jordan could take. Who does Jordan go with at 9? Because they just traded a guy that was supposed to be a piece for them. They're stuck in Lance Stephenson. They just, after 1 year, they said they were done with him. Al Jefferson just opted in, probably his last season.
Definitely his last season.
Yeah.
No way he is getting re-signed.
And he opts in because he's not getting that money anywhere else.
No. Al Jefferson's going to struggle to find money after this year. So
what players on the Charlotte Hornets are locks to be starters next season? They're locked in at point guard, right?
Yeah,
got
Kemba Walker.
And they're locked in at
Gerald Henderson.
MKG.
So MKG's going to play.
A small forward, right?
He's going to play 3. And then Al Jefferson's going to start at 4, I guess, 4 or 5. And then Cody Zeller. And yeah, they are all, wow, the Hornets are really.
They're wide open.
Yeah, they're really bad.
Which leaves it wide open for a pick here, but I'm going to go out. This guy was up as high as 3, as high as 4, and I've seen him as low as like 12, 13. Defensively, he might be the best player in this draft. As good as Karl Anthony Towns is, Cauley-Stein could be. He could defend 5 positions.
Yeah, he's going to. I think he'll eventually reach first team all defense. I think he's that type of player. Like, it's kind of shocking that someone of this. That talent is going to fall to 9. Just shows how deep this year's draft is. The Hornets have a bunch of bigs. They still have Bismack, who actually is getting better. They have Vonleh, but he's going to take time to bring up.
Yeah,
they
got
Cody Zeller. And Al Jefferson's going to be gone next year, so that's one big out the door. You definitely should go Cauley-Stein here because the best player and can give the biggest impact.
There's a chance he's not here. If there's a trade involving DeMarcus Cousins, Cauley-Stein can go as high as 6 to the Kings. But best case scenario, I think, for Michael Jordan is for him to drop the 5, which would probably allow Al a little bit more time to focus on offense. Where he has a guy behind him that's going to help him out, slide, a guy that can really move his feet, slide over, play some good help defense. Because, we've had this conversation numerous times. Al is not a fan of ours. He's not a nice guy. Not to me.
No.
I don't really know how else to break it down. Charlotte passes on him. I don't know where else they would go here. Miles Turner is a possible guy to come here. He really kind of – he didn't have the year that he was anticipated to have for Texas this year. But
also didn't get the minutes, though. He was only 20-some minutes per game. Low 20.
Yeah, and he's a project. Most of these guys are projects. Most of these guys are 19, 20 years old. People have to really consider that when these picks are made. I mean, these guys we've all named are freshmen. Stanley Johnson, freshman. Russell, freshman. Okafor, Towns. Porzingis has owned you. Moutier. I mean, they're all 20. We haven't named a guy over 20 years old yet. Well, Coley Stein's been,
he's
a four-year guy, 20, right?
He's a three-year guy.
Yeah,
so he's like 21.
You're kind of getting what you see from him defensively. So you're not going to
He made major steps from his sophomore year to junior year, which was big for me.
Okay.
So junior year, or sophomore year, he was looking really raw. And then now he's definitely...
This is his junior year?
His junior year.
So he's playing with Carl Anthony Towns.
Yeah, but even just him watching them individually was a lot better, yeah.
Okay, so we're locked in, first nine. Now we got the Miami Heat. They lose the MVP of the NBA for life, LeBron James.
Mm-hmm.
Missed the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Dwayne Wade's hurt again.
Yeah, D-Wade's for leaving town, skipping town.
He's probably going to skip town, right?
Yeah.
They're probably going to go... But, to their credit, they have some pieces. Bosch is coming back from an injury that is he can come back from. Hassan Whiteside played great second half of the season. He had spurts towards the end of the year where he was kind of not as good when he was not mentally in the game.
Yeah, that's the thing with him. He's got once there, got a contention. He really need to be on him about basketball. If he's not feeling it, he's not going to play well, and he's a major head case, but got great talent.
And another thing that goes into this pick is, does Dragic resign? Because if he leaves town, then everything, if they have indication that Dragic isn't going to stay, Miami can move into a point guard role and either go after like a Cameron Payne or even reach for Jerry and Grant at 10, but that's a little high for Jerry and Grant, I think. Where if they went that route, they'd probably fall back in the draft. But at 10, who do you have? Because we weren't really discussing their pick, and we both were kind of on the fence on who they were going to pull the trigger with.
Yeah, I'm torn here. I think they should go Miles Turner, but they're probably going to pick Devin Booker. The man might have the best jump shot in the draft, but that's literally all he can do. He can defend okay, but he cannot put it on the deck. He claims he watches Klay Thompson videos. And
what does that mean, right?
And he tries to – and he can shoot around screens and stuff. But if you can't put the ball down on the floor and get to the hole in the NBA, it's hard to be effective. There's only a few guys who can do it. Is he good a shooter as Korver and those guys? I don't know. That's
a stretch, right?
That is a stretch. I don't personally, I don't know, don't think he's going to be that great, but I see why teams would want to draft him. He really needs a shooting guard, too, if Wade leaves.
Even if Wade doesn't leave, they still need a guy to play to limit Wade's minutes. Because when he's on the floor too much, you run into the problem where he's going to get hurt again.
Yeah.
That's what he is now. They need to take the Spurs approach with Wade and limit his minutes a little bit, like they did with Manu and Tony, to stretch the years out of him.
For sure.
So I'm also going to go Booker. His shot is really nice for being so young. To say he's Klay Thompson is a stretch. Klay Thompson just won the NBA championship. Probably is the fourth best player on the floor. Like, on a team where he was the second best player all season.
All season. But the other guys just stepped up.
Draymond, Iggy played great. It could be a good role for Booker. He could, in the regular season, when they're running the floor and spacing out and he's just dropping threes, Bosch and Whiteside taking a lot of pressure on the inside might leave Booker wide open on the wing, which is good for him. But we're both in agreement, 1 through 10. Let's keep buzzing through. Number 11, Indiana Pacers.
Yeah, I have them getting Miles Turner for sure. I mean, they could go Frank here, but I see them going Turner. David West is getting old. They're going to have to replace him. Roy Hibbert, Larry Bird is not a fan of his. Says he even needs to earn his spot this year. He's not afraid to bench him, even though he's getting paid all that money. So he's probably done with the Roy Hibbert era. And I think Miles Turner is at 7 foot, being 19 years old and showing he has a jump shot and blocks so many shots. I think he's going to be a steal for the Indiana Pacers here at 11.
I'm going bold. It's our first disagreement. I was saying Turner this whole time. More and more I kept thinking about it. I think Frank moves in here. He's more polished. He's a four-year guy. Offensively, he's ready to contribute. I think that's needed with Hibbert and West. West is getting older, so his minutes aren't going to be there as they were maybe 2 years ago. So I'm going to go Frank here. I think Bird might like Frank. He's actually said it numerous times that he's a Frank guy. I've seen it.
Larry Bird likes the big athletic guy, though. He really wants Cully Stein to fall there, but probably not going to happen.
Yeah, that's best case scenario for them.
And I just think he's going to go Turner over Frank.
Okay. So our first disagreement, not bad, out of 11 picks. Of course, 11, our number.
Mm-hmm.
Let's keep cruising. We're going to 12. Our breakout team, Milwaukee Bucks.
No, Utah Jazz.
I'm sorry, Utah Jazz. Well, our breakout teams in the East was the Bucks. I'm sorry. In the West was the Jazz. We actually have them sneaking into the 7-8 seed next year. So this pick has to matter if we think they're going to be that good. And we actually weren't even sure on the way over to the man cave who we thought they were going to take. They have a lot of guys. They have a lot of good role players. Guy coming back from injury, Alec Burks. Where do you see the Jazz going here?
Jazz are going to go Turner or – there's three guys they could go. I think it's Turner, Lyles, and Frank K. And I think Frank Kaminsky is going 12 overall to the Utah Jazz, and he'll be the stretch forward playing alongside Rudy Gobert, best defensive center in the game, also one of the best centers in the game, probably be an all-star next season, might win most improved.
I'm going to say, it's tough here because they can go we're 90 seconds with two picks to go. I'm just going to go out and just go Bobby Portis here. It's kind of just a wild card. We were talking about him on the way over here. I really like him here. Very versatile for them. And I'm going to go Bobby Portis, number 12, to the Utah Jazz. Let's go Phoenix Suns real quick, 13th.
13 Phoenix Suns. I have them getting
Trey Lyles. Definitely a need. They need a big man to work in with Markieff and Len. I'm going to say to go Turner because I have him left over. Which leaves us with the Thunder. Last pick of the lottery.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they promised to pick Cameron Payne if he's on the board at 14. Very good guard. Small guy, but he has a great triple. Can pass the ball. Real scrappy to one of those tough mid-major type. He comes from a mid-major school, Murray State. And I think the OKC is going to definitely pick him here.
Yeah, I also believe that. I've seen Decker mentioned. I've seen Oubre going as high as 10. 10 seconds. Make sure you check into our podcast. 14th pick, I'm going Cameron Payne also. I think it's a no-brainer. it's a good guy to fill in for Russell Westbrook when he needs a breather, which apparently is never. Thanks for listening. We are bleeding over into our podcast. We got about 10, 15 minutes worth of stuff to talk about. I'm just trying to finish my tweets here, Tone. Phoenix Suns, totally missed. I feel like I missed the pick. We had to blow through it.
Yeah.
And it was a pick that I wasn't even sure on at the time. But I went with Turner. I just wanted to make sure I had that.
Yeah, I wanted to talk more about Jazz and Bobby Portis at 12. I'm a big Portis fan. I'd actually thought he was...
Turned me on to him, actually.
Easy lottery pick for a long time, but now he's been floating around mid, the 15th through 18th. Him on the Jazz, I would love his energy alongside with what Gobert brings every night. Still would be scrapping on the boards, and I would like to see that.
I just thought about the versatility for him. I thought it made a lot of sense. Those 10 through 14 can really be like a Yossi. You know what I mean? Every team could pull the trigger on any one of them. But what I really want to talk about in these next 10, 15 minutes is there has been a lot of trade rumors. Last year, we thought there was going to be some trades, and really kind of Sixers made a move with Orlando, with Payton and Sarge. But which team in the top 14, which two teams, give me two teams, are likely to move out of the lottery? Like, they're going to move out, go backwards.
Knicks?
With their pick. The Knicks, I think, 100% move out.
And the Detroit Pistons.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know if Detroit really wants any of those guys that ate. And so they might trade back and go and try to get like a guy like Hunter or...
They feel like they have a lot of needs, and they don't really have a direction. So for them to really pick there, and they've already made moves. What's his name? Has already made Stan Van Gundy has already made moves.
Yeah, they got Ilyasova.
Yeah, he made Ilyasova. He traded Josh Smith last year. He went out and got Reggie Jackson to try and keep the playoff hopes alive after Jennings went down. So he's shown the willingness to mix it up and to really try and get his players on the team. So that's definitely a team that I could see moving out. There's no way the Lakers move out. I understand they want Cousins, but there's guys there. I mean, Okafor's there. I mean, I understand Cousins is – I think he's a star in the NBA. He put up some amazing numbers, triple-doubles, 20 games last year. But I do think that they are locked into the two-pick. Just to get the two pick.
I mean, if they could get Cousins and a guy like Moutier, then like they should do that.
How would they get Moutier?
If they're getting Cousins, they're just trading their pick.
How could they get another pick? That would be unreal, right?
Okay, yeah.
That would be like robbery, wouldn't it?
I don't know.
I feel like it would be.
So what was the exact trade that they're talking about, Matt? The newest trade.
I seen Cousins to the Lakers, Vucevic to the Kings. Which is, I don't know, doesn't really do anything for me. I don't know if he could play in the West, Vucevic. He's not very physical. He's not very good defensively. But the pick, and there was picks involved, and Orlando was getting the second pick. Oh, yeah, you're right. The Lakers fly to six.
Yeah, so they get
so they
could
still drop get Moutier.
They can get Moutier, and like if you can get – Cousins alongside with, a Mario or a Moutier or a Winslow.
With Kobe coming back, who he's done.
Yeah.
But you know how Lakers fans like to keep up. They like to pray to God that Kobe returns to form. I like when they say that Kobe's going to pass the ball. He looked more willing to pass the ball. What does that mean? That's like I'm going to take an extra shit during the day. Doesn't really mean anything. So I think that getting two pieces would be beneficial to them, especially if one of them's Cousins. But then they have to control him. Because he's had a temper on the court. If the Lakers can control him like Rasheed Wallace was controlled in Detroit with Larry Brown. They could put it all together. It would be a good pick. Then again, I still don't think Cousins is a five, which he'll have to play five next to Julius Randle. So that's also another thing that is kind of – I really don't think he can play five in the NBA. Offensively, he can play any position he wants. But he can, I don't think defensively he can play five for an entire season in the West. I just don't. But my two most teams to likely move back are the Knicks. I do agree with you there. I like what you said about the Pistons. I could definitely see them moving out. But I think that the back end of it, I think the Thunder might move out. They kind of got a team already. They got Durant coming back. Russell was MVP. Like, he was in the MVP running. If he didn't miss them games, he probably would have won it. They got Canner. They're going to keep Canner. They got Steven Adams. They got Youngs. They got Perry Jones. They got who's the other small forward that actually played a little bit last year? Not Morrow. There was another young kid.
Jeremy Lamb,
who they've had for a couple years. I know they're shopping a lot of them guys, which also leads me to my next question. Which two teams are likely to move down in the draft? Oh, I'm sorry, they would move up.
The Boston Celtics, they have the packages to do so, and maybe even the Philadelphia 76ers will go for two picks on draft night. So they pick at three. And
so you're saying move
back,
it back into the lottery.
And then move back into the lottery.
Okay. We've talked about that. I pray for that to happen. Whether it happens or not, I don't know. Depends, I think, where guys do fall to. If you get the right guy to fall, like a Super Mario, I would love to see the Sixers jump on him around like 9 or 10. But then again, if he goes to 10, the Heat, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The Heat take him. The Hornets might even take him because he's a scorer. But I think the Thunder are likely to either move up or down in this draft because I think they have kind of a stopgap at a lot of positions. I think they could package it with their pick. Fortunately, I mean, they got an NBA championship caliber team right now on paper. You can argue that they can win the championship, right?
Yeah.
They have the 14th pick. So if you could package an Ibaka for 11, or Ibaka in 14 for 9, possibly, and get a Stanley Johnson. You tell me you wouldn't like Stanley Johnson on the Oklahoma City Thunder with Durant and Russell Westbrook, Canner.
Like, exactly. That's
Adams.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Stanley Johnson on a team like that, Detroit, it's like...
He could get lost in a shuffle there.
But if he's on a team with OKC and he's running and can shoot the ball, yeah, he would be a great fit for them.
And I do think you're right. I think the Boston Celtics are a team that have high hopes on moving up in this draft. I've seen that they're in love with Miles Turner. I actually had Turner fall in the 13. So to go from 16 to 13 is, I mean, that's easy. That's just a few picks here and there. They have, what, 4 or 5 futures first, I think, next year and the year after that. So they're loaded up just like the Sixers are. I see what you're saying about the Sixers moving back into the draft, back into the lottery. They have 4 first next year. They have Dario Saric. That coin's still in the bank. I think they are definitely 3 teams that are most likely to move back up into the draft. Who is your biggest bust in the top 14 guys we named? Who has the best chance of being absolutely nothing? Who could just...
Biggest chance of not being anything.
Who's Anthony Bennett? Who's traded 3 times in 2 years and might not be in the league in 5?
I don't know. I would like to know what Minnesota's trying to get for Anthony Bennett, by the way. He's on the block.
What could they get for him, honestly? Five future seconds? I mean, what could Anthony Bennett? Box of Twinkies.
I mean, I might trade
Starbucks gift card.
30-something for Anthony Bennett. Nah, probably still won't even.
He's almost irrelevant at this point. until he does something, until he makes me believe that he can act. Because they're stuck with Shabazz, who still hasn't lived up to what they expected out of him. So they're stuck with two first-rounders that really haven't been anything for what they where they were valued at in the draft.
I'm going to say for the one player who could be the bust, definitely Devin Booker. He's too one-dimensional for me.
Yeah, he is. He just strokes. There's guys that have made livings doing that. I am going to say, actually, I didn't have Lyles picked in the top 14, by the way. I'm going to lean on the same guy as you. No, you know what? I can't go Decker because he wasn't picked in my lottery. I think Decker stinks, point blank. Seen him do some things in March Madness, but there's always a March Madness guy that stock goes up in the draft, and then it kind of trickles back down. He's probably a second rounder, right, before the March Madness run he had.
No.
Bottom end of the first.
He was low 20s.
I've seen him as high as 10, 11.
Yeah, he was always 15 through 28-ish, anywhere through there. And I actually saw him higher than 11 before NCAA ended, obviously. The tournament ended.
Yeah, so I'm going to say Booker, too, only because I didn't have Decker picked. I know you...
Yeah, if we go out...
You're not an Oubre guy, right?
No, I watched him live versus Temple, looked lost, watched him a few other Kansas games, and I don't know. People love to say potential, but some of these guys, you just watch them, and they're just like, wow, they may have it in warm-ups and do these drills, and they have that athletic ability, but they're just never going to be anything.
All right. Most likely to make the Hall of Fame extremely extreme guess here, because making a Hall of Fame is a special player.
I think there'll be more than one player from this draft that makes the Hall of Fame.
So you're saying this is that 84 draft. This is that LeBron draft. This is that draft where you got multiple champions coming out of it, star champions. Give me two then. Don't give me more than two because that's too bold.
Russell and Karl Anthony Towns.
Okay. I actually agree on D'Angelo Russell. I think the kid is good. You've been pumping him up for a long time. I've been watching a lot of his stuff. He seems like he's a good kid. He's got a head on his shoulders, too. And he has, like, a drive to be. I know he talked about playing with Kobe. And to play with a guy like that, you got to have a drive to be someone special. I would never want to play with Kobe Bryant. I just would like to have the ball in my hand if I got a pet possession or two. But I'm going to go D'Angelo Russell. And I'm going to go Jahlil Okafor.
Fair.
I said it the first time I seen him, that this kid could be something really special. Offensively, I immediately seen Tim Duncan when I seen him. I seen a kid at 19 just absolutely manhandle his opponents. Like, they weren't even there offensively. I'd never seen that out of a 19-year-old. Not that I can remember. Anthony Davis wasn't even like that at 19.
No.
Offensively. I know defensively he has his flaws, but he's a big kid. Coach K even went out and said that he could do more defensively. He just wasn't asked to do more defensively. Won the national championship.
Yeah, he did.
Freshman. And he was the main reason why they won the national championship. He didn't play well in the championship, though, in the second half. He actually played, I thought, hard. He lost. No.
He won.
They won.
But Frank Haig took it to him.
Who played really well?
Winslow.
And didn't who was
Tyus
the point?
Jones had a very good
yeah,
game.
Yeah. But I know the second half, Okafor really struggled. Yeah, Frank was giving him work.
Yeah.
Big time in the championship game. But that's the end. I mean, 45 minutes. I wish we can go longer. I know we had to kind of like squeeze a lot of picks and a lot of talk into a 45-minute period, but Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon, hopefully at the NBA draft on Thursday. See.